The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Over the skies of Tibet streaks the cutting edge in American technology.
My God, what a plane!
The new ES-1 spy plane, the best America has to offer.
Enjoying the flight there, Jack?
You would not believe how this baby handles.
The envy of the world.
Well, what do you see?
And a target for America's enemies.
Oh, my God.
What is it, Jack?
Migs.
Jack, what is it? Jack?
Mayday! Mayday! Mayday!
Jack!
Barbara, what is it?
I think Jack is dead. This plane has gone down somewhere in Tibet.
I don't believe it.
There were MiGs, Stryker. I'm afraid he's lost.
I don't care. I'm going in.
MacBullen number 89. Strike and retrieve.
MacBullen 89. Strike and retrieve. Will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting July 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advanced copy of Strike and Retrieve. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
From the creator of James Axler's Deathlands comes the second chapter in an all-new series, Outlanders. Kane and Grant, former magistrates and fearsome warriors for the New Order, have joined the rebels of Cerberus Redoubt. Together with the beautiful and brainy Bridget Baptiste, they seek the answers to the Earth's past in order to rebuild the future. Their quest takes them to the remains of Moscow and onward to Karakoto, the fabled Black City, home of Mongol hordes and the avenging Lama, the Tushegun. What they find in the Black City could offer proof of the Archon's ancient and ongoing plot to dominate the Earth.
There was far more to the report on Kosla's 1923 expedition to Karakoto than was ever released. He submitted that a major civilization once existed in the Gobi. The Gobi civilization was said to have been technologically advanced, and the desert upon which it sat was once lush with vegetation. Kosla hypothesized that the civilization perished due to atomic radiation. Evidently, the source of the radiation is in the vault and once more active. Kosloff's theory was that the Gobi civilization was created by a non-human race known as the Greys.
The Archons.
What they find beneath the Black City could spell the end for them all.
We're screwed if we can't get that door open.
I can't find the latch or spring catch. We're gonna have to go with the grenades.
This is gonna be a classic 1%.
Good. I'm keeping track of them all, you know.
Outlanders 2, Destiny Run, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting July 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advanced copy of Destiny Run. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
You ain't heard nothing yet.
And now, our feature presentation.
Previously on Deathlands.
Ryan was reaching for his blaster,
knowing that it was an utterly pointless gesture, when he saw the strangest thing. The scaly rose onto its toes, dropped its blaster, and its mouth gaped wide open. Dean had used every fiber of his strength as he struck at the creature, aiming his blow between the scaly's thighs. He thrust the point up and into the soft genitals, twisting as he drove it home. He felt the roughness of cloth against the back of his hand, and then a convulsive, shuddering contraction of muscle. A warm wetness streamed over the boy's wrist as he withdrew the knife. Ryan didn't waste time wondering about the apparent miracle. He drew his blaster and put a single round through the scaly's throat. As the creature fell, Ryan saw behind it the person who had saved his life, still holding a short-bladed skinning knife in his right hand, the steel smoking a little in the cold, damp air. It was a boy, lightly built, wearing a collection of patched rags. His face was partly in shadow as he looked down at the thrashing corpse. Then he looked up, and Ryan saw the curly black hair and the deep-set, serious eyes. The boy appeared to be around 11 or 12 years old, maybe a little younger. And Ryan knew. He holstered his blaster and held out a hand to the silent boy.
Hello, Dean. Hello, son. It's time to go.
Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Acil Ford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Nanette Savard, Karen Carbone, David Coyne, and Ken Jackson. Deathlands number 14, Dark Carnival. Ryan Cotter held out a hand.
It's time to go, son.
For several heartbeats, the boy didn't move, only stood and stared at the one-eyed man.
You're Dean, right?
And your name's Ryan Cotter?
The child's breath billowed in the cold, damp air. The noise of death and fighting was all around them. Ryan knew that his friends, J.B. Dix, Doc Tanner, Christy Roth, and Mildred Wyeth, would have reached the shingle beach of the Hudson River by now, near the ravaged ville of New York. They'd be waiting for him to join up with them so that they could escape in the wreck wag.
Time's one thing we don't have, son. There'll be time for talk later. Now we gotta go.
You my father?
Yeah, that's what they tell me.
Truly?
Yeah.
Ryan had never been a man of limitless patience. Right now, the boy was pushing things.
Don't suppose you got my knife? Green handle?
I got it.
A short quarrel from a crossbow splintered against the stone wall just above Ryan's head, and he heard one of the Scaly's leaders trying to restore some order.
Dean, now.
Finally, the boy held out a hand, sticky with fresh-spilled blood, and took Ryan's hand. Together, father and son sprinted into the arched tunnel that wound its way toward the river. The broken fragments of fading moonlight had disappeared by the time JB emerged past the corpses of the scaly guards. A frail snow was falling, driven on a strong northeasterly wind. The shingle was dusted white, and the waves off the river tumbled and hissed on the gently sloping stretch of beach.
Is the wax still there? I can't see. Can you make it, Christy?
Christy Roth held a hand above her eyes, trying to look a little to the side of where she thought their vehicle might be. It was a trick that Ryan had taught her, and it generally worked. But the sleeting flakes of snow pattered in her face, making it impossible to see anything.
No. We wait here for Ryan?
Perhaps if we were to remove ourselves to the beginning of that broken pier, we might be better able to provide him with any covering fire he might require.
Good thinking, Doc. All of us trying to scramble up there in dark and ice, and something would go wrong.
I'll wait here. Just reloaded my blaster. The rest of you go out there and keep watch for us.
They've been together long enough.